Hey Odyssey fans, I'm Bob, editor of Plugged In Magazine.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine. Welcome to the October 8th, 2008 edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
So Jesse, what's new?
We've got a free giveaway today, Bob.
Oh, is it one of those donuts in the control room?
No, it isn't.
Oh. Well, can I have one?
Yes, you can have a...
All right.
Bob! Oh, boy. Okay. All right, I'm glad you're back. But for those who don't have access to our control room donuts, we have a free Odyssey episode.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Which episode?
Well, it's called BTV Obedience.
Oh, from the new album, Bible Eyewitness Hall of Faith.
That's the one.
Yeah. Well, let's get started. Oh, and be sure to stay tuned after the show for a special surprise interview.
Can you just tell me what the surprise is?
Well, what does Chris always say?
As it is written in Proverbs.
No, I was thinking about another of her famous lines. Keep listening.
Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to Odyssey. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit. Why don't you get the whole family together and join us for another exciting Adventure in Odyssey.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, Connie. Roll over.
What?
Ew! What is that awful stench?
You must bathe.
I'm not into rules, man.
Mr. Fufu.
That's Edwin, you ninny.
Sorry.
Bernard Walton here, and welcome to BTV. Now, you may be wondering about all the noise going on behind me, and no, it isn't our city council in session. And now, we're at Fufu's Obedience School, where animals of all shapes and sizes are trained in the art of obedience, which, by no small coincidence, is the theme of our show. Obedience, I mean, not animals. So sit tight, and we'll all get started in two shakes of a rabbit's tail. Alright, so today we're talking about obedience, and to help give us perspective on the subject, I've asked Connie Kendall to give me a hand.
Hi.
Okay, Connie. Roll over.
What?
Roll over.
I don't get it.
Well, I'll try sitting up then.
Huh?
Too hard for you? How about playing dead?
You're kidding.
Well, what if I wasn't?
Then I'd suggest you get Eugene. I'm not doing any of those things.
Not surprisingly, I couldn't get Eugene to do any of those things either.
So what's your point?
My point is, a lot of us think that obedience is switching off our brains and taking orders, like we sometimes expect our pets to take orders. And that's why we're here at Fufu's Obedience School.
Why are we here?
To show that there's a lot more to obedience than we think.
Hear me, people of God.
Speak to us, Moses.
Okay, here are the basic rules. 10 commandments that we have to follow. And then I've got a few supplemental books about relationships, hygiene, things like that. But I'll get to those later. Anyway, we have to follow these rules. And,
excuse me there, Mose.
What is it, Shlemiel?
I'm not into rules, man.
Why?
I mean, in the long run, what are rules but one person imposing on another? Not my trip, man.
But these are from God.
Yeah, I can dig it, but you know, what if I'm not interested in rules?
Look, Shlemiel, we've got a lot of people taking a long trip across the wilderness to the promised land, so it's simple. Follow these rules, you'll live. Disobey them, you'll die. There's no other way.
You're so black and white, man.
You got a better plan.
Well, I just figured we'd, you know, hang out and kind of do our own thing while we wander around, you know?
Yeah, you can try that if you want.
Cool. Water. Water. I need water. And just a little food, maybe? I must have left mine in my other coat. Anybody have a few crumbs? You know, maybe a little sunscreen or something? Can anybody help out? Well, I got this rash, you see, and... maybe I better talk to Moses about those rules again.
You see, in the Old Testament, Israel was a nation fighting for its very existence in a wild and brutal country. Direct obedience to God and His laws was vital, because to disobey was sometimes the difference between life and death. That's why God often required a no-questions-asked, just-do-as-I-say obedience from His people. It's kind of like a parent with a child.
Don't touch that burner! How many times have I told you not to play near that open window? Look both ways before crossing the street! Get down off that bookcase! Brush after every meal. Don't forget to fasten your seatbelts!
Hi, and welcome to a live, on-location, candid conversations with Connie. Today I'm talking to Mr. Fufu, the owner of Fufu's Obedience School. Mr. Fufu.
Please, call me Hank.
Hank Fufu?
Yeah, Hank Fufu. You got a problem with it?
No. Okay. Tell me about your obedience school.
It's a school that trains animals to be obedient.
Why?
Why what?
Why do animals need to be obedient?
That is a silly question. They need to be obedient because we tell them to. What's the point of being people if we can't boss around things like animals?
That's it? There are no other reasons?
That's it. Hey! Quiet!
Sorry.
Not you. I'm talking to the dogs.
Oh.
And now it's time for Poetry Corner with Edward Blaggard.
That's Edwin, you ninny!
You're on the air.
Oh! Hello, and welcome to Poetry Corner with me, your host, the renowned Edwin Blaggard. My selection for today is a classic poem entitled My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose. It's a touching poem.
Ed.
Mr. Blaggard to you. What do you want?
I thought Bernard asked you to do a poem about obedience.
Well, I couldn't find one about obedience, and there's nothing romantic about obedience anyway.
So you didn't do what you were asked?
No, I'm doing this poem instead. It's lofty, it's beautiful, and I'm the star of this segment, and you can't do a thing about it. Now leave me alone. My love is like a red...
Another thing we should remember about obedience... God isn't only asking us just to obey Him. He's asking us to trust Him enough to obey Him. We have to trust that He has good reasons to ask for our obedience. In the process of trusting and obeying, God sometimes makes us change our thinking about the world, about ourselves, even about Him. Take the story of Gideon, for example. For him, being obedient meant going against good sense.
Say, Gideon!
Yeah.
Do you realize that the Midianite army must have at least 154,923 men, and we Israelites only 32,000 men?
You're very accurate.
That means that they outnumber us 4.84 to 1.
Mm.
Don't you think we might have a slight technical problem here?
Yeah, there is a problem with those numbers.
Ah, Gideon, I'm glad you've seen it my way. Now, I propose that we
have too many men.
Yes, yes. Just what I was going to say. That the army has positively too... What? Too many?
Yes, we have too many men. We need to lose, 22,000.
What? Didn't you hear me? I just said that we're outnumbered. 22,000 men is 68.75% of our army.
Really?
We can't lose that many. The odds are, well, astronomically against us. Where did you get this crazy idea?
Higher up. And I do mean higher up.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So, how do we decide who goes and who stays?
Whoever is afraid, let him leave.
You think there are 22,000 people who are scared?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, Judy. It was one thing when you let most of the army go home, but now you have all of us drinking from the river. What are you trying to do?
God has another adjustment in mind.
Glad you brought that up. You see, 30% of the remaining men thought the idea was crazy. 30% thought the idea was really, really crazy. And 30% thought the idea was really, 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 really crazy.
What about the other 10%?
They were in too much shock to respond to our public opinion poll. We have a big problem with our numbers.
You're right. There are still too many men.
What? Maybe you didn't hear me. I said...
I heard you. God will separate the men for us at the river. See those men with their faces in the water?
Yes. Looks like 9,700 of them. You want them to stay?
No, they're the ones that God wants to leave.
You're kidding! We're losing our whole army!
Not quite. See all the ones drinking from their hands? They're the ones who will stay.
But there's only 300 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You mean we're going against thousands and thousands of Midianites with only 300 men?
That's right.
Oh, I hope you have some sort of a battle tactic to use.
Actually, God has already come up with a game plan.
Spanning time to bring you the constant variety of athletic competition. It's the thrill of history and the agony of bare feet. This is the ancient world of sports. Hello, I'm your host, Bob Booth, here in the booth, and down on the field is my co-host, Bob Field. Bob?
Thank you, Bob. We're here at the site of the 10th annual Ill Will Games in the beautiful Valley of Jezreel, where today's historic event is getting underway. Let's go to your ringside announcer, Bob Referee.
In this corner, weighing in at hundreds of thousands of men, it's the Midianites. And in this corner, weighing in at 300 men, it's the Israelites. Let's get ready to mumble!
From what I can tell, Bob, the Midianites are armed with swords and spears, and the Israelites are armed with trumpets and water pitchers.
Excuse me, Bob. Did you say trumpets and water pitchers?
That's right, Bob. Trumpets and water pitchers. I'm trying to get a word with one of the Israelites. Excuse me, Bob Field, Ancient World of Sports. And you are?
Bob Israelite.
Bob, those aren't exactly weapons. How do you expect to win?
I'm just grateful our manager didn't send us out here with a banana and a kazoo.
Whoa. Well, who is your manager anyway?
Well, that would be God.
Oh.
Yeah, he's also the one who chose only 300 of us for this fight. Excuse me.
Pretty unorthodox, Bob.
True, Bob, but God has a perfect track record, and he loves underdogs. Hey, what about those Midianites? Are they employing some sort of strategy?
As a matter of fact, they are, Bob. They're sleeping. And here we go. The Israelites are blowing their trumpets. Mean trumpet. They just cracked their pitchers. Wait, there are torches inside them.
Torches?
Hold on. The Midianites are running away in fear. I'm going to try to get a word with one of them. Excuse me. Nicely put. Sorry, Bob. Seems to be running for his life.
Unbelievable. The mighty Midianites have been routed, overcome, vanquished, and utterly defeated by a bunch of guys with trumpets and water pitchers. You've got to give credit to God for pulling this one off, Bob.
You're right, Bob. And that's all from the Ill Will Games in the beautiful Valley of Jezreel. I'm Bob Field in the field.
And I'm Bob Booth in the booth, hoping you'll tune in for the next Ancient World of Sports.
Other times, God forces us to reevaluate our pride, prestige, and position, as he did with a man named Naaman. Take it away, Wit.
There once was a commander of the Aramean army named Naaman.
What kind of name is that?
Dear, what should we name our new little bundle of joy?
Name him...
Wow, look at that turbo-powered chariot!
Naaman, I like it.
Not exactly. But anyway, Naaman was not only the commander of the army, but he was good friends with the king, too.
Hey, Naaman!
Yo, king!
Wouldst thou like to come over to the palace and play pool later?
Sure wouldst, kingy. It'd be fun.
But sadly, Naaman was a leper. No, a leper. A person with leprosy.
Leprosy. A mischievous elf of Irish folklore.
Oop.
Wrong one. Leprosy. A chronic bacterial disease marked especially by slow-growing swelling with deformity and loss of sensation of affected parts.
Well, all I know is it stinks and it's contagious.
Contagious?
Servant girl, I need a Band-Aid.
Yes, sir.
And an ice pack.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, and a heating pad.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. A dandruff shampoo. I'm getting flakes of skin everywhere.
One day, the servant girl, who happened to be from nearby Israel, went to her mistress.
Mistress, Mr. Naaman should go see our great prophet in Samaria. I'm sure he'd heal Naaman of his leprosy.
Naaman found out and went to his friend, the king.
Yo, kingy!
Ready for a game of shuffleboard, Naaman?
Love to later, kingy, but you know, I heard there's a man in Samaria who can cure me of my leprosy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well... then I shall send a note to King Joram there, asking him to do just that.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. You can deliver it to him in person. That'll save me a stamp.
Oh, thanks, King.
And we shall also send him a few gifts.
Let's see, what do we have around here? About 750 pounds of gold, 150 pounds of silver, and 10 pounds of lead.
Yeah, sounds a little heavy.
Okay, let's drop the lead.
Wow!
And bring him 10 new outfits instead.
So, Naaman took the gifts to King Joram of Israel, with great hopes of being healed, and with his gifts in hand.
Boy, these gifts sure are wrapped pretty.
Naaman presented them to the king.
Thank you, Naaman. I love this suit. It's wash and wear even.
Yeah.
Naaman then told him of his request.
King Joram, sir, I was hoping you could cure me of my leprosy.
What? Who do you think I am, God? I don't know how to do that sort of thing. Are you crazy? Can I still keep the suit?
Naaman was distraught.
Oh, what am I gonna do now?
Hello, and welcome to the wildly popular game show, Who Wants to Be Obedient? I'm your host, Pat Filges. Let's meet today's contestants. Joining us from a long time ago in a garden far, far away are Adam and Eve. I don't seem to have your last name here.
Smith.
Adam and Eve Smith.
Hi.
Hello.
And from not quite as ancient Israel is Jonah. No last name either?
R. Smith.
Jonah R. Smith. And last but not least is a young lady from right here in Odyssey and a first-time BTV regular, Emily Barker.
Hiya.
Now, contestants, you know the rules, but I'm going to repeat them anyway. Every contestant gets one multiple-choice question. If that contestant gives a wrong answer, he or she is disqualified, and the rest of you can hit your buzzers and attempt to answer that question for high points and big prizes. Everybody ready? Okay. Our first question is to Adam and Eve.
Yes.
You're created and placed in paradise, but God gives you one rule. You must not eat from the tree at the center of the garden.
Well, that sounds familiar.
You should A. Stay clear of the tree because God said so. B. Eat the fruit of the forbidden tree and invite a serpent around for supper. Or C. Circle the tree repeatedly, name a couple of animals, and try to imagine what fig leaves are for.
Ooh, toughy.
Let's see. There's so much to consider.
Yeah.
How about B?
That one makes the best sense. Okay, our answer is B. Eat the fruit of the forbidden tree and invite a serpent around for supper.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Well, you are absolutely wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, but we do have some lovely parting gifts for you. Adam, for you, we have this rake and this spade. And Eve, for you, we have terrible pain in childbirth. Now, do any of our remaining contestants know the correct answer? Yes, Emily.
The correct answer is A. Stay clear of the tree because God said so.
You're correct. And for that, you get a chance to win our grand prize. Our next question goes to Jonah.
Arr, finally.
God tells you to go to Nineveh to preach repentance. So you A. wait at home watching game shows while waiting for further instructions, B. take a cruise in the other direction, or C. go to Nineveh and preach repentance.
Be it game shows or a tour, I'll have to say the answer is B. I takes a tour to the other direction.
Are you really?
I'm really, really sure. And that's me final answer.
Sorry, Jonah. But our consolation prize is a trip to the middle of the ocean where you'll enjoy some deep sea diving while whale watching. Now, do any of our... Emily, what a surprise.
The correct answer is C. Go to Nineveh and preach repentance.
You're correct. And Emily, it looks like you are our only contestant left. So that means that you, yes, you, are our grand prize winner. Eternal rewards and the satisfaction of a job well done.
What?
Meanwhile, let's go back to Wit and our story of Naaman.
Naaman received little help from the king and was preparing to go home when surprisingly, the great prophet Elisha heard what had taken place and sent a message to King Joram.
Dear King Joram, send Naaman to me. I'll fix him right up. Yours truly, Elisha.
Well... what are you waiting for, Naaman? Go see him.
Okay.
Wait. First, what tie looks better with these pants? This one or this one?
So, Naaman and his servants went to see Elisha.
Ew! What is that awful stench?
Did you forget your deodorant again?
No. Oh, I see. It's that river over there, the Jordan River, I believe. What a repulsive sight. Thankfully, the waters in Damascus are pure and clear. Otherwise, I'd never go to the beach.
Here is Elisha's home, sir.
Oh, what a hovel. Well, knock on the door, if you can find one.
Elisha answered and gave Naaman his instructions for getting rid of leprosy.
You must bathe.
That's it? What, my mother call you?
Bathe 7 times in the Jordan River, then you will be healed.
The Jordan River? But that's just plain ridiculous. Have you seen that river lately? It's disgusting. Elisha, can't you just wave your hand over me and make it go away?
Yeah, if you want that abracadabra kind of stuff, you're in the wrong book.
Well, thank you, Elisha. That doesn't make sense. If all I had to do was take a bath, I could do that in Damascus. There are much nicer rivers there, the Abana, the Farfar. And how could bathing in that filthy pit cure me anyway? I refuse.
And Naaman, beside himself with rage.
Boy, am I angry. Yeah, me too.
Planned to go home, still afflicted with his leprosy. Naaman left Elisha in a rage, but his servants ran to catch up with him.
Sir Naaman, I know that for a man of your position, that bathing here would be embarrassing.
And gross.
But perhaps this is what God is calling you to do.
What?
Be obedient by humbling yourself.
Even if it is gross.
If Elisha had asked you to do some great heroic act to be healed, you would have done it.
Sure, I'd have fought off the whole army or raced a chariot in the Jordan 500. I'd have even spent the holidays with my in-laws.
And yet, this is simpler than all of those.
Be grosser.
Be quiet.
After thinking about it for a time.
But, well, it's so...
Could you speed it up? We're short on time.
Okay, I'll be obedient and wash in the... Yeah, Jordan River 7 times. Oh, get me my rubber ducky, please.
So Naaman did just as Elisha had said. And when he came out...
Sir, your skin's as clean and soft as a baby's skin.
Must have been the power of God. Because it sure wasn't the river.
Naaman was so happy to be healed, he offered the gifts to Elisha.
Oh, please, take the gold and silver and sets of clothing. Hey, I'm missing an outfit.
As surely as the Lord lives, I will not accept any gifts.
Please?
No.
Well, okay then. Could I ask a gift from you, please? Allow me to take some earth from this place so I can take it back home with me. For I will never again present any offerings to any gods but your God.
Elisha consented.
Load her up!
Bye! Thank you!
Oh, that was nice of you, Elisha, to give him a gift.
Yes, it was. It was dirt cheap, too.
This is John Avery Whitaker for BTV.
So obedience is the result of trust. Born of the hope that the one we trust is also the best person to be obeyed. But there's one other part of obedience we haven't talked about yet, and it's probably the most important.
John chapter 14, verse 15. And Jesus said,
"If you love me, you will keep my commandments."
John chapter 14, verse 24.
"If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love me, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching."
Of course, Jesus could say all that because he was the ultimate example of obedience.
Philippians chapter 2.
"Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross."
Oh, I think that's all we have time for today, but thanks for...
Hey, wait a minute.
Huh?
Wait just a cotton-picking minute. You can't leave without allowing me to impress your audience.
Impress them? How?
With the superb training of my animals. On my signal,
My assistant will release the dogs and cats from their cages. And then, on my signal, those dogs and cats will all sit in unison.
Are you sure about this?
Just watch. Ready? On my signal, release the animals. 1, 2, 3. And now, my second signal. Hey, didn't you hear my second signal? Stay back, you beast. Hey,
on behalf of the entire BTV team, thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Well, like Bernard said, that's all for today. Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. BTV Obedience was written by John Beebe, Nathan Hubler, Phil Lawler, Paul McCusker, Jim Ware, Kathy Waringa, and Marshall Younger, and directed by Paul McCusker, Kathy Waringa, and Phil Lawler. Our vocal talent included Paul Herlinger, Katie Lee, Earl Bowen, Aria Noel Curzon, Steve Bridges, Corey Burton, Janet Waldo, Walker Edmonston, and Nathan Carlson. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell. And our executive producer was Paul McCusker. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.
Hey, Bob, have you ever noticed how we're very similar to Bernard?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, Bernard is the host of his own kids show, and we're the host of our own show for kids. Yeah, we're practically famous.
Well, have you ever gotten recognized for your voice?
You know, it's funny. About a month ago, all the Focus on the Family Institute students showed up. And for our listeners who don't know, Focus on the Family Institute brings in about 90 kids, college kids, from all over the world to study at Focus for a semester. And every time I get an intern to help me out at Clubhouse Magazine. So I'm walking up the stairs with our newest intern. Her name's Grace. And she turns to me and she says, "Hey, wait. I know your voice. You're Jesse from the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast." Well, that's about the only time that my voice has been recognized. How about you?
No, got nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But back to the similarities we have with Bernard. I hear that Dave Madden, the actor who plays Bernard, is actually a lot like Bernard.
Well, that's true. In fact, we talked about that.
You interviewed Dave Madden? Is that the surprise?
Sure is.
Well, let's hear it.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm as well as can be expected for somebody my height.
I read your memoirs, and as a result, a lot of questions came to mind. And
I imagine so.
Well, and there are some other things, too, that I thought, wow, that's a great story. I think our listeners would love to hear it. So with all those things in mind, let's jump right in. You've been providing the voice of the character on Adventures in Odyssey, Bernard Walton, for how long now?
20 years.
From the very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And
it's the longest run I've ever had.
Let's go way back for a second. Let's go back to your teen years for a minute. When did you start to realize that you were meant to be an entertainer?
I started out as a magician, amateur magician, when I was about 12 or 13.
And didn't that happen as a result of a bicycle accident? You ended up in the hospital and somebody gave you some magic tricks?
Gave me a book.
You know, okay.
101 Tricks You Can Do. And I found out I could do about 60 of them.
Well, that was a good start. And then you went on, when you were in high school, you wrote a joke column for your high school paper.
Yeah, I don't know how I got that, but they assigned me that. But I didn't really write jokes because I wrote monologues. I could write material about the teachers and things like that in a monologue where I couldn't do it in a joke, you know.
Which was a natural segue then into stand-up comedy.
I guess it was, yeah. I did stand up in my magic act for some time, and then eventually it got so it was like 50-50. Then eventually, by the time I was in college, I was just about finished with the magic aspect of it and was doing mostly stand-up comedy.
And eventually you moved to television thanks to shows like Camp Run Amok and Laugh-In.
Yeah.
Well, eventually you went on to be on the sitcom Alice for 7 years, but even that tenure there, that's not the role that people tend to identify you with, is it?
No. Partridge Family ran for 5 years, and then it ran for five more years in network syndication, which means it was on 5 days a week.
It was always on right after the Brady Bunch, where I lived. It was kind of that double feature after school. You come home and you see the Brady Bunch, and then there was Reuben Kincaid and the Partridge Family. Well, for young listeners who may not be familiar with the Partridge Family, let's bring them up to speed. Shirley Jones played a single mom with five musical children. Their band traveled around in a very colorful bus. We all remember the bus. I'll let you take it from there. Tell us about your role.
You certainly remember the bus.
Yeah.
That bus is, I'm surprised that we weren't all killed.
Why is that?
That was a very old bus. I think maybe it might have been a World War II bus that was painted up to look kind of modern. But I drove that bus a couple of times. Shirley drove it a couple of times, and I really thought we were going to get killed when she drove it. Because it had no power steering. Now, if you can imagine a big bus like that, out on the road with no power steering, trying to negotiate corners and things like that, that's terrible.
How would you compare your work on Adventures in Odyssey with other jobs, other acting jobs that you've had?
In terms of the character is fairly consistent with the wholesomeness of the old days in television, and certainly the old days in radio.
Do you think that, I know your wife says that your fondest memory of doing the Partridge Family was your off-screen bond with young Danny Bonaducci, sort of as a surrogate dad behind the scenes. Do the Adventures in Odyssey fans get a glimpse of that side of you in the way that Bernard interacts with the children of Odyssey?
Yeah, Bernard certainly is not a child hater, nor does he really pretend to be. He gets a little curmudgeonous with kids when they come out with certain lines, and then you can hear that because he says things under his breath. But he obviously likes kids, or he wouldn't read them the Bible stories and do all the things that they did for them if he didn't like them. Where Mr. Kincaid became absolutely exasperated with Danny, mostly with Danny. But therein lies a lot of the humor from Partridge Family.
I have to admit, Dave, listening to Bernard spar with Eugene, who, of course, is a young man who takes pride in being a little bit smarter than people twice his age, has definite similarities to the chemistry between Reuben and Danny. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I know. I see what you mean. I think there is a similarity because I do get exasperated with him and some of the things that he comes out with. I get exasperated to some degree when he says things that I don't understand because he has a vocabulary that's a little beyond Mr. Walton, you know.
Before we head out of here, I really want to tell you, you've been very gracious, and Dave, I thank you for your time. I know it's early out there, but thank you for allowing us to kind of revisit some of the past with the Partridge Family and talk about Odyssey.
You're very welcome.
You have a wonderful week, and again, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
You know, Bob, if you were a real interviewer, you know, like the ones on TV, you would have made Dave Madden cry.
I think it's more likely for Dave Madden to make me cry.
I think you're right. You know, our listeners can hear today's show, BTV Obedience, along with 11 other Bible shows on the new Bible Eyewitness Hall of Faith. Check out our website for more details.
That's it for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast. That's witsend.org/podcast.
Or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse. And remember, with God in your life, every day is an adventure.